Hour three is upon us here of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Thanks for being here with us. Just talk about how we hope you all download, listen to the podcast when you get a chance. ClayandBuck.com for website updates. Podcast is wherever you listen to podcasts. If you don't have the iHeart app, really recommend you download it just because you can listen to podcasts, but also live listening for your local station there on the app. We've got that too. If you want to call in, 800-282-2882. Later on this hour, Clay and I are going to take a moment to deep dive with all of you into what does, when some college kids decide they're going to have a woke ambush of somebody, right? They're just going to go after somebody with the full fury of wokeness. What does it sound like? What are the things that they say? And how should one perhaps respond to it, especially when you're exposed to how unhinged and crazy so much of the left can be on a college campus? I just want to remind everybody also from this morning, we have Biden saying that everybody needs to go out and get vaccinated. He gave a speech this morning in which he also laid out that boosters are actually going to be much more available than was anticipated a week ago. They have changed the dynamic here. They have changed, overruled, let's just say it. They've overruled, the CDC overruled on boosters. And it didn't take long for that to happen. I thought it was science. I thought it was irrefutable when they make decisions. Well, you know, I didn't think that because they're wrong all the time. They change their minds all the time. We got our friend Alex Berenson with us now to weigh in on all of this. His new book, Pandemia, is coming out. Get it before the Fauciites start burning those books as soon as they can. Alex, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, boosters, my friend, I think last week we talked to, or a week or two ago, I don't know, I talked to you a fair amount. I was like, they're going to do the boosters anyway. And it looks like, yeah, now they are. What happened? I thought the CDC was supposed to go along with the experts.
No, it's incredible. I mean, you know, they didn't get the vote they wanted. The CDC is clearly concerned about this. They're clearly concerned about long-term side effects. They're clearly concerned that, you know, this is a game that, you know, could have ramifications down the road if the, you know, if the virus continues to mutate. And Rochelle just overruled them. I mean, it's incredible. I think I say this to you every week, but try to imagine if Donald Trump or someone who, you know, worked at the CDC under Donald Trump, if Robert Redfield had overruled his own experts this way. Imagine what the outcry would be about not following the science and about politicizing everything. But this administration, they can do whatever they want, and nobody says anything to them. It's really incredible.
Alex, by the way, we can hear your kids in the background there, which is really going to harm your reputation as someone who wants everyone's kids and their grandparents to die, which is what the blue checks would say about you. But question for you. What is the latest data that we've got out here about England and Israel, and where is it likely to be headed for the United States based on that data?
It's not good. So the Israelis, they've given out boosters to about half the adult population, which is, you know, what the CDC wants to do. I just read a report today in the Times of Israel that the number of people on ventilators is the highest it's been since March. They have a tremendous number of new cases every day. They topped out at those a few days ago, and it's gone down a little bit since then. But they're still having the equivalent of a couple hundred thousand cases in the U.S. every day. And if this is what you get after using a third booster, which is, you know, a second booster, a third dose, which is an experiment that, we don't really have any science behind, if the empirical evidence is not good. And then in Israel, and then in England, arguably there's something even more concerning happening. Now, the Israelis have stopped giving out data on what's called all-cause mortality. That's counting all deaths, not just COVID, not just heart attacks, everything. It's the best way to calculate, you know, population health. The Israelis stopped giving out that data, but the UK is still giving it out. And unfortunately, all-cause deaths are hitting highs now that if you exclude COVID, okay, because COVID killed a bunch of people in the winter. We know that. If you exclude COVID, all-cause deaths are running about 10% above normal and have been for months. And that's very odd and unusual, and nobody has a really good explanation. And then if you add COVID deaths in, all-cause deaths are now running 20 or 25% above normal. So in the UK, that's, you know, that's a couple thousand, 1,000 to 2,000 extra deaths a week that they're having right now. So I thought vaccines were supposed to be the miracle. I thought vaccines were supposed to end COVID. I thought vaccines were supposed to, you know, we're all going to be able to fly to the moon and back in 30 seconds. Unfortunately, if you're looking for positive population-wide effects of the vaccines, about the only thing you can say is that it looks like in the spring they helped reduce COVID cases for a while. And you know, beyond that, yes, it looks like maybe there's some slightly longer benefit of protection against severe disease and death, but we don't know how long that lasts either. So, you know, we've engaged in this experiment, and we're still engaging in it, and the data is not backing up what people like Fauci said.
Is there any reason, we're speaking to Alex Berenson, everybody, if you have not, if you want to get some of his COVID research, subscribe to his Substack, because he's been kicked off of Twitter forever for writing things, if I recall, Alex, that the tweet was actually entirely correct, but you still got kicked off of Twitter. Going forward here, the booster situation, why should anyone believe? I mean, we've asked, by the way, Fauci to come on the show, Alex, and he keeps on trying to dodge, make it seem like he's considering it, but he won't come on. Why should anyone believe that this is their last, if they're willing to get this booster? And I've already said, I'm drawing a line in the sand, no booster, right? If they're willing to get a booster, why would they think it's their last booster?
I have no idea why you believe it's your last booster. It seems very clear that these vaccines don't produce the same kind of broad-scale B and T cell immunity that real infection and recovery does. They sort of give you this boost in antibodies, but that does not last. And so we know that your antibodies are going to decline in any case. And so, you know, whether you have one shot, two shots, or two shots and a booster, your antibodies go up and then they decline. And so in a matter of months, it's hard to understand why that wouldn't happen again. And then the Israelis are already talking about a third booster, a fourth shot. By the way, and we've talked about this also. There's this concern that the virus will start to mutate, and it's already starting to happen with Delta, away from the boosters, which were designed for the original wild-type virus. And so what that means is, at best, the boosters are going to be less effective than they hoped that they would be. But at worst, you could get this terrible situation called antibody-dependent enhancement, where the boosters actually wind up making the infection more, the new variant, more able to attack your cells. And so, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm sorry, I'm on the west side right now, and I'm alternating between getting into the car and talking to Percy, my daughter, and then getting out. So you can hear it's traffic and then the baby. So there's this possibility. And again, I'm not saying this is going to happen or even it's likely to happen, but if it happened, it would be terrible, where people who've been vaccinated are actually likely to have a more severe infection than people who aren't. So to me, the booster seems like a very, very bad bet, that at best it's going to, you know, reduce your chance of serious infection for a few months, and then you're probably going to have to get it again. At worst, it won't even do that. And at absolute worst, it might make matters worse.
Now, you've got an interesting piece right now up on your Substack, and we're talking to Alex Berenson as he wrangles, as many parents do on a Friday afternoon, around with his young children. I'm fascinated here. There's a bull and there's a bear case, right? And I guess it depends on how you define it from the virus's perspective or the country's. Let's say the bullish case is, from our perspective, that COVID's going to decline. And that's one of the forecasts that's out, that COVID projected to drop below 100 today, deaths a day by March, which would be good. But it would be the exact opposite of what we saw last fall and winter. Do you think we're headed for, based on all of the evidence that you look at, and I know, look, COVID's made fools of everyone because it's difficult to predict the future, but based on the data that you are seeing, as we now are into the fall and winter looms, do you think we will see a rise in COVID cases through the fall and winter as opposed to a decline, as is being predicted by some experts?
I do. So here, the bull case is basically this. Everybody has either been vaccinated or has natural immunity at this point. Okay, and that's true. And you can look, actually, at the UK, there's data showing that 97% of people have some kind of antibodies that are either natural antibodies or vaccine antibodies. But the reason I don't, and in the U.S., the numbers are probably pretty similar because, you know, we vaccinated so many people. The reason that I don't think that this is a, you know, is real is that I don't think vaccine immunity should count, basically. I don't think it's going to last in any meaningful way for people for more than a few months. And so I think basically the number of people who've been vaccinated doesn't matter. It only matters how many people have natural immunity at this point. And that's assuming that the vaccine doesn't somehow screw up natural immunity.
Alex, it seems to me that if the last bastion, as I call it, of Fauciism is that it prevents, we are still told as of today, the vaccine prevents serious illness and death in a very meaningful way. Well, if that's the case, then why do we need the boosters, right? Because if it's just cases.
Yes, but let me just go back to this one thing. So let's just assume that I'm correct and the vaccine doesn't prevent infection, and over time the protection against severe disease and death goes to zero or close to zero.
Right.
In that case, then basically all you can look at is the number of people who've been infected and recovered. And so in the U.S., that might be 40% of the population. It might be 50% of the population. There are some people out there who think it's higher than that. I don't think it's higher than that. Look at what happened in Florida over the summer, okay? In Florida over the summer, they had a very significant wave, despite the fact that they had national average vaccination rates, okay? Everybody who talks about DeSantis and criticizes them, it's nonsense. Florida was at the national average. They weren't Tennessee or Louisiana. They still had a huge wave of cases and deaths. That's because vaccinations basically, the protective effect, again, if it's there at all, is marginal against severe disease and death. That's what the Israeli data says. That's what the UK data says. So I think we're just going to have to go through a fall wave where everybody who is vaccinated is going to get infected. And some of those people are going to get really sick and die. Some will not.
How many people right now, Alex, do you think are having breakthrough cases? I mean, as a percentage, breakthrough cases as of the month of September in the United States leading to hospitalization or death? Do we have any idea?
No, we have no idea. And, you know, I said this to you last week. You didn't believe me. I heard from Tucker yesterday. He didn't believe me. In the UK, 70% of all the deaths, 70% plus, are in people who are fully vaccinated right now. What's the percentage in the U.S.? We do not know. What's the percentage of people who are hospitalized in the U.S. who are breakthrough cases? We do not know. If the CDC knows, they're not telling the truth about it. I don't even think they do know. Our data collection is terrible. It's politicized. And for whatever reason, they've done nothing to improve it. In fact, they've made it worse.
What does it take for the Biden administration, for Dr. Fauci, for the CDC to start to acknowledge what the data is actually showing us? It seems to me, and I'm curious if you would agree, that they've been 60 or 90 days behind or more throughout in terms of their messaging. Is that going to actually happen?
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take because they're so insistent on pushing that. You know, the new line is we just need to get 5 to 11-year-olds vaccinated, get all the teenagers who aren't vaccinated, then everything will be fine. Like, what? Where? On what planet do you live? You don't live on a planet that has Israel or the UK on it. You don't live on a planet where you're looking at the actual data from, you know, from U.S. nursing homes, for example, which are seeing more and more people who are fully vaccinated getting sick and dying. Well, I don't know what it's going to take. And you know, it's funny. You talked about me being kicked off Twitter, and so now I just have the Substack, which, again, fortunately, thanks to people like you, people are signing up for the Substack, and they are finding me. But somebody tweeted a few days ago, and I thought this was so right. Like, people were willing to sort of put up with me. I'm talking about the Faucis of the world as the court jester when they didn't think I was right. So, you know, when they thought I was sort of like just some kind of vaccine, anti-vax nut, which of course I'm not at all, and was just saying all the stuff about vaccines that weren't true, they were happy to have me on Twitter.
All right. Alex, we got to leave. We got to leave it there. Check out Alex Berenson's Substack, everybody. Subscribe. I subscribe to it, just to full disclosure, so you know. I think Clay does, too. Thanks so much, Alex. The Talented Towers Foundation has done so much for so many families this year. This weekend, in and around New York City, the Tunnels to Tower 5K Run and Walk will again pay tribute to those who made the ultimate sacrifice. A member of our own team here, Allie, one of our producers, is taking part in the 5K this weekend. They're there to honor the sacrifice of those who served our country and are now learning to live with life-altering injuries. We spoke earlier this week with Corporal Noakes, who lost both his ability to walk and his ability to see. by your generosity, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation's leadership. He's living in a home specially made for him, Clay, so that he can manage for himself.
That's all possible because of your donation, supporting events like the 5K walk and run, and making a monthly donation of $11 a month. There are many more heroes like Corporal Noakes who need your help today. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T. Org.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, a new form of broadcast excellence inspired by Rush on the EIB network.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton show. It is Friday, and I know there's a lot of you ready to roll into the weekend and have a lot of fun. Maybe part of that fun is getting in your car, driving around somewhere. Maybe you need to make sure you got the podcast. Our thanks to Alex Berenson. Buck, I know we keep saying this, but I think it's significant. We're one of the only places that will actually discuss real truth and data in terms of COVID. And I asked Alex this question, and I know it's something you and I debate, I mean, off air all the times, like during commercial breaks. When is this moment of reality going to dawn on the Biden White House that their message of if everybody's vaccinated, COVID basically goes away is a lie that the data doesn't support? And they're going full speed, like running as fast as they can directly into a brick wall. And as you just heard Alex talk about during the fall and now in the winter, I just retweeted Vermont, which is the most, I think it's the most vaccinated state in the United States, is about to set a new COVID hospitalization record.
Remember when, before we had vaccines, who was the big evil enemy in our battle against COVID? Anyone who wasn't wearing a mask or social distancing enough.
Yes.
What have we found out? That didn't do a darn thing. We know this. This is a fact. I mean, you could try to argue with me, oh, 2% reduction, 4% reduction. It did not even, it was firing a BB gun at best at a freight train of COVID. And they're like, oh, but we're firing at it. And now we're, you know, imagine what it's like if it turns out that the, again, we have the data. And there's no one argues about the fact that if you got this thing in March, you were good for about 90 days, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 months, something like that. We're admitting that, right? That it was good for a period of time for people that were at high risk. But what do we do now? And when you can't even tell us, well, not you, but you know what I mean? When one can't even tell us what the actual breakthrough caseload is for hospitalizations and deaths in the month of September thus far, Clay, how can we know what we're really dealing with?
Buck, are they setting themselves up to argue that the reason why COVID is back is because people haven't gotten their boosters?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to shift it from the unvaccinated to, oh, this is happening because people aren't getting their boosters?
It's always because you didn't Fauci enough. Always.
Yes. Right now, I want to save you a bundle, up to $1,000 a month. What could $12,000 extra dollars in your family's budget mean for you and your household? A big difference. You need to get hooked up right now with my friends at American Financing. Get your phones and call this number right now, 800-777-8109. We're into the fall. You know what that means. Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, boom, it's all rolling together. You're going to end up spending a lot more money than you anticipated. Put your family's financial house in order by getting a great brand new mortgage or refiing the existing mortgage you have right now. You could save up to $12,000 a year. What would an extra $1,000 a month mean to you and your family? Don't wait. Call today. Only takes 10 minutes to save $12,000 potentially. 800-777-8109. That number, call them today. 800-777-8109. NMLS 182334. Call American Financing today.
On the EIB Network.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. The phone number is 800-282-2882. That's 800-282-2882. We will take some calls here. But first, we have with us, as promised, to talk about the border, among other things, Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas. Mr. Governor, thank you for being on with us.
Hey, it's great to be with you today. Hope y'all are doing well.
We're doing fine. Thank you, sir. Let's talk about the border for a second here. I know you're part of this group of governors who want some answers, and you're there in Arkansas, not far from where all this stuff is going on, and certainly it really touches on all 50 states in different ways, the open border. So tell me, what would you like to see happen here, and how does Arkansas play into it?
Well, first of all, it's amazing to have 26 governors join together in a letter to the president expressing concern about the border. And these are governors from Arizona all the way up to Massachusetts. And so it does impact our states because, one, we all look at this and we can't have integrity in our border, in our immigration system without enforcing the law. Secondly, you know, the fentanyl and the drugs that come through the border impact each one of our states, certainly Arkansas being close there. And so we have sent our National Guard to the border to be supportive, and we want to continue to do that. The first thing the administration needs to do is to make sure that the Border Patrol is supported and not be critical of them.
What do you think, Governor? You know the importance and the impact of the bully pulpit that Joe Biden has, and certainly that Kamala Harris has as well. When you see them falsely spreading the narrative that basically there was a whipping going on, they're banning horses now in Del Rio over viral photographs, which even the photographers themselves say don't reference or reflect what has being alleged. How much are they failing the American public and the Border Patrol by spreading these falsehoods?
Well, tremendously. And I've looked at the pictures, and people can make different judgments, and maybe we're not seeing everything. So it's fine to be reviewed. It should be reviewed. But first of all, you should not stop the Border Patrol from using horses. Because that's an important part of their equipment, of their capability of protecting the border. And so that is common sense. I don't, you know, I was in the Bush administration in charge of border security, and I know how important the Border Patrol is, and they need to have different technologies and the utilization of old technologies like horses in order to get the job done. And so you don't want to undermine their confidence. They're working hard. They're devoting themselves, putting themselves at risk, and you can't have an administration that undermines them. And so I think it was a wrong message. Again, we've got to be able to send a powerful message and reverse the trend that we're seeing, that basically this administration has encouraged those from other countries to come through our border illegally. That's what has to stop.
We're speaking to Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas. Governor, how is, you know, we just talked to a friend of ours who follows the COVID numbers generally very closely and just the overall trajectory of this pandemic. How is Arkansas doing? What are your expectations for your state over the next 60 to 90 days when it comes to COVID? And what do you think about the reversal from the Biden administration on the CDC and the booster shots?
Well, first of all, Arkansas was on the front end of the Delta variant, and so now our cases are going down, and our hospitalizations are going down, and so we're hopefully on the downward trend of the Delta variant. Now, this coronavirus has given us a curve every other day, and so we don't know what the future holds, so you continue to take it seriously. I believe in vaccinations. I've encouraged them across the state. Our vaccination rate is going up. But what we've seen from the CDC is confusing messages. I applaud, actually, Dr. Walensky for not accepting the recommendation of the advisory committee, but making an independent judgment that we can have our frontline medical workers go ahead and get the booster shot. This was common sense. What I'm disappointed in is that the FDA has not moved more quickly on some of this, has been inconsistent in their messaging. Hopefully that can improve, because these booster shots are important, and we do have those vaccines. We're doing everything we can to get those out, because I think that's what's going to allow us to go to football games and do everything we want to this fall.
Governor, I was in Fayetteville for a football game, biggest one in Arkansas in decades, according to everybody that I ran around. You guys whipped Texas. I'll get you out here. We're ready. We're trying to have people have some fun headed into the weekend. The Razorbacks have a big game on the road against Texas A&M down in Dallas. Undefeated Razorbacks, undefeated Aggies. You guys have lost 7 in a row in Dallas. What's going to happen this weekend?
Arkansas is going to squeak it through. Our team is up. Coach Pittman has done a remarkable job with them. And, you know, that's a difficult environment for us. The Jerry Jones Stadium there, AT&T Stadium, we haven't won lately there. But I think this year is different, so I'm optimistic about a win. But we know it's going to be a hard-fought battle, but we'll be ready for it.
Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas, thanks for being with us, sir. We appreciate it.
Always great to be with you. Thanks so much.
We come back, guys. We want to talk to you about what wokeness sounds like in action on a college campus these days. You got to hear that. And then we'll get to a whole bunch of your calls because we are, of course, in the spirit of Open Line Friday in the third hour. So wokeness and then all of you weighing in, telling us what you want to tell the folks all across the country before we head off into our weekends, because, Clay, everybody's working for the weekend, as we know.
Oh, did you just come up with that?
Well, I think that was the song that we came back into. Sir, I will have you know. I think it is. I think we're going to have some. We're going to put in some new. I want some 90s.
That's
90s
what I've been suggesting. I think the 90s is the greatest decade in American history when it comes to music. Maybe the greatest decade in American history, period. So we need a lot more 90s music bringing us back in here, I think,
on the show. It wouldn't have been that long ago that Clay and I would have been in a Dave Matthews Show wearing puka shell necklaces, you know, with like a tie-dye t-shirt on, just rocking
out. Tie-dye's back. My boys, the fifth grader and the first grader, was tie-dye Friday at their elementary school today. So I think they're cycling back in tie-dye.
We'll get into that and more in a moment, folks. You know about carnivore trading, right? There's one week in recent Wall Street history to know them. This is it. Carnivore trading is an elite group of incredible Wall Street traders who know how to manage through volatile market shifts like what we've just seen this week. These guys have revolutionized how regular folks like us can make money in the stock market. They tell me what stocks look ready to explode and why, and that's what carnivore trading gives us, okay? They figured it's time to democratize stock trading for everyone. Carnivore members receive real-time text alerts of the explosive trades carnivore has identified. You can make that trade through discount broker or pass. And right now, carnivore invites you to see their explosive real-time trades free for 2 weeks. Go to GetOurTrades.com and use promo code USA. That's GetOurTrades.com, promo code USA. See website for terms and conditions. Past performance, not a guarantee of future earnings.
The views expressed on this program make more sense than anything anybody else happens to be saying.
Passing the torch of wisdom, even to this very day. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Final segment of the week. Almost 15 hours up, 15 hours down. We appreciate all of you who have hung out. Many of you listening to all of those hours. A lot of you listening to many of them. We hope that we are getting you entertained and informed. And as we get ready for the weekend, encourage you to go subscribe for the podcast. Search out my name, Clay Travis. Search out Buck Sexton. And you can go give us a 5-star review. We'll let Dub give some of those 5-star reviews a once over, and we'll read some of them. If you can be funny, witty, entertaining, challenge yourself and entertain us. The chaos that exists right now with the woke culture on college campuses is a true virus that continues to infect and destroy everything around it. This clip that we're about to play you is from Arizona State University. So there are two white kids that are studying in the multicultural center. One of them has a sticker that says "Police Lives Matter" on his laptop, and
I think
the other one.
I believe that to be a very true statement.
I believe police lives matter. Of police not dying does not seem to be a ridiculous perspective to adopt. So someone in that multicultural center walks up and confronts these two white students and says that basically their being present in the multicultural center is unacceptable, but also that they're having the opinion that police lives matter is offensive.
Right. Well, we're not even, we can't do this justice. People just need to hear
this.
It
is real.
Play it.
This is the violence that ASU does, and this is the type of people that they protect. Okay, this white man thinks he can take up our space, and this is why we need a multicultural space. because they think they can get away with this.
I'm going to sit here the whole time and you can find somebody to kick.
That's cool. We're not
kicking you out. We're asking you to leave if you have any consideration for people of color and are marginalized.
Sure, clearly don't.
That I can go?
Yeah, the whole rest of the campus. Every single part of the campus centers you. This is the only space that you're not centered, and you're still trying to center yourself, which is peak white cis male bullshit. You are racist. Your sticker is racist because police, that's a job. You can choose to be a police. I don't choose to be black. You can choose to be a cop. You can choose to kill people with a badge, and you're protecting that, which means that you're racist.
I wasn't trying to defend you guys.
I know, but this offends us automatically because these people kill people like me and like us, right? So you're promoting our murder.
Promoting our murder. Clay, notice that the use of jargon, the language there, and when you hear the way it just so quickly flows from these college kids, the cis white gender male, all this kind of stuff. This is like what you'd hear indoctrinated youth in a country that has gone totalitarian saying mindless moronic slogans and thinking that it's profound and important.
And remember, this woman is filming these white guys in the multicultural center as if she is in the right. Not only is she behaving, you just heard that video, in a thoroughly reprehensible manner, kicking someone out of a location on campus because of their race is the foundation of racism. Just because she's black and doing it doesn't mean that it's okay. And then to argue that he's not entitled to his perspective and immediately to go to "you're racist for having that perspective" while filming this guy trying to dox and embarrass
him. This is meant to shame him, no question. And Clay, notice the one of the two woke students here saying that they, meaning cops, kill people like us. This reminds me of the same brainwashed leftist mentality you have around COVID, where people think, young people think, that they're 50 times more likely to be hospitalized and die than they are.
Killing black people every day.
Young minorities in this country are being told by the left. I mean, if you were to ask, you could run this experiment. How many unarmed black men are shot in any given year in this country, for example? A lot of leftists would start saying thousands, at least hundreds. Very few of them would say 9, maybe 15, depending on the recent year we're talking about.
And to your point, unarmed doesn't mean without danger,
right?
Because you can be unarmed and choking somebody to death.
Right.
You
if someone's wrestling me for my sidearm,
yes,
I consider them armed.
Yes. You can be unarmed and trying to go get in a car to get a weapon, right? Like, all of these things, usually when you look at them, there is a real, clear, and present danger afoot. But It's again what we were talking about yesterday with the whips and the way that the Biden administration has tried to portray something that didn't happen on the border. It's anecdote destroying good decisions, right? The border, we need security. Oh, there's a guy on a horse who's trying to do his job. We can't have horses anymore. Oh, we have one police officer who may have behaved in a criminal manner. All police officers are bad. It's anecdote driven culture designed to build up a narrative that isn't supported by the actual data.
Let's get to a couple of last calls here for our Open Line Friday. We have Mark in Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Mark.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I was just called in. I was going past Baptist Health of Breckenridge Lane in Louisville. They have a COVID vaccination center drive-thru. It said no appointments needed. I went by and said I'm 66 and a half years old. They would not give me a COVID booster. It's been 6 months since my second shot. They said they were only giving those shots to immunocompromised people.
Well, they must not know about the updated CDC guidance because it just got updated a few hours ago, Mark. But so you want the booster?
Yeah, and I was right on it, you know. I showed up to do it, and they wouldn't let me have it.
Yeah, bureaucratic incompetence all over the place. Mark, thank you so much for joining us from Kentucky. Let's see. We have John Doe, not his real name, obviously, in a Texas border town, a federal contractor. What's up, John? Yes, sir. Okay, I think John's taking a nap. Teresa in Tucson, Arizona. What do you got for us, Teresa?
I just wanted to comment on the Chris Cuomo. I think it's kind of sketchy to me that she brings it up now when it's 16 years ago. Also, she was his boss. I was a boss of many people in the military. And if even a previous worker did something like that to me, I would have said something. I would have had my husband say something. I just think I don't understand why she brought it up now.
Thanks for the call. Yeah. We were talking about this earlier, Buck, and we took calls from women who were reacting to this Chris Cuomo story. If you haven't heard it, a woman has an editorial in the New York Times accusing him of sexual harassment. She says he grabbed her butt 16 years ago. She has an email where he apologizes for it. And what is the statute of limitations on using inappropriate behavior in an effort to try to... She says she doesn't want him fired, but certainly... It feels like she wants there to be some sort of consequences, even though she's not demanding them, right? She's like, oh, I don't want him fired, but here's what he did that was so wildly inappropriate.
The reputational damage is obvious, and she knows that, and this is not, it's not helpful for Chris Cuomo. We all, you know, let's not pretend like she can't see what's going on here. I think it's weird, too. Tina in Yuba City, California. Hey, Tina.
Hi. I'm calling regarding the mandates and the boosters.
Yep. Yes.
And my point is this. The New York subway is a perfect example of hypocritical manipulation by our government.
I agree.
There's 4.3 million people that ride that subway every day, but they don't enforce social distancing, and all they do is mandate masks. So why can this same rule of thumb not be applied to the private sector?
It's a great question. I think the answer, Buck, is because the subway system crosses state lines, and they recognize they don't have the authority to mandate vaccines.
Subway doesn't.
Well, it goes into New Jersey. It goes into.
Okay. I mean, but you know, the thing with the New York City subway system is they could have a vax passport.
They don't require it. I think they're afraid because some of it crosses state lines.
Right.
Well,
they won't do it. They won't do it, even though that's you would think what place. And it's a very good call. Place where you'd think there'd be more. Coming up on Monday, our guest Jake Biquette, former NFL player, Army Ranger, Arkansas Senate candidate. A lot of Arkansas love on the show these days.
Woo pick.
And then Dr. Harvey Risch, a professor of epidemiology at Yale. Clay, you're going to have a fantastic weekend, right?
Come hang with us at the Vanderbilt-Georgia game. We're having a fun tailgate, and I can't wait to be back with everybody on Monday.
See you Monday.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.